One of the things I remember pretty clearly from when I was a kid was how we picked up teams to play kickball or dodgeball or some other game. When the weather was good, it was a pretty regular occurrence at recess, at school, or in the neighborhood. You might remember something like this. Two kids out of this pack of kids were the captains of their teams. I don't know how that got figured out, but it just did. I wasn't in on that. And then one by one, they would pick someone for their team. I usually got picked sort of in the middle of the pack, which was A-okay with me. I was never one of those who got picked first, so it wasn't my expectation. Occasionally, depending on who was there, I did end up being one of the last ones picked. And in the slightly dog-eat-dog world of childhood, that could make for kind of a tough day. I guess in some ways we were learning a lesson about how things work in this world. It's a competitive world, so you might as well start getting used to that. We were learning the ropes. Life can be tough, so it pays to toughen up a little bit yourself. So if you don't like getting picked last, well then maybe you should just try doing something about that. But I think if we're not careful, we can see what happens in today's gospel through a similar lens as that. Like, of course Jesus picked Peter and his brother Andrew and then James and John first. It was like Jesus had a great eye for talent and saw Ted Williams when he was a kid with that already perfect swing, or an 18-year-old Willie Mays gliding in the outfield to snag a pop-up, and he signed him up on the spot. Of course that's how it happened. They were special. Jesus saw that. After all, just look at how Peter today is depicted in stained glass windows all over the globe, serenely walking on water, above it all, or depicted as a bishop, with a halo glowing about his sanctified head. Of course he picked Peter, the rock of the church. Popes still wear a ring called the fisherman's ring to this day in his honor, maybe hoping that a little of Peter's star power will rub off on them. Why wouldn't we see what happened that day on the shore of the Sea of Galilee in just that way? We need natural leaders, don't we? We need the best and the brightest in operating rooms and boardrooms, making the big decisions for all the rest of us. Cream rises to the top for a reason. Isn't that right? All of that's true, I suppose. But I wonder, is that really what was happening as Jesus was walking along the shore and first saw those two sets of brothers? One of the dangers of seeing that way, of seeing Peter and Andrew and James and John as future spiritual Hall of Famers, is thinking that, sure, they heard him say, "Follow me," and did, but that's the kind of thing that happens to other people, special people, not me. A lot of ink has been spilled over the years trying to explain how Peter and Andrew and James and John heard Jesus say, "Follow me," and did immediately, and left behind their nets and their boat, and James and John left behind their father Zebedee sitting in the boat going, "What's happening?" They left behind their lives and started walking. But where were they going? I bet they didn't know. And I bet they couldn't really have told you why they were doing it. The nearest thing I can think of to liken it to is that funny thing that happens to us funny human beings, us peculiar, glorious, strange human beings when there you are, going on about your life, doing the things that you do with your life, the next thing that's in front of you to do, and then you turn a corner and there is a face out of all of the other faces, and you see them, and suddenly you can't breathe, and it's like falling, and nothing can catch you, because love, or something like love, has pierced you and grabbed a hold of you, and now you can't get back to where you were before, even if you wanted to. We call it falling in love. But I'm not sure those words can ever say, can ever approach the mystery of how that happens. And immediately, the life you had is left behind, and you start following the love that loved you. I think the experiences of faith are like that. So much so that I think you could call it falling in faith. Somehow, past all the words, the Lord of life, the heartbeat of God that is at the center of all life, has called out to you, not because you're a future spiritual Hall of Famer, but because it is the nature and desire of God to draw you to God. Frederick Buechner, as usual, has something beautiful to say about how we find ourselves hearing, "Follow me," and miracle of miracles, we do. Buechner had made his decision to go to seminary to become a minister. And shortly after his decision, he found himself at a dinner party. And while at table, one of the women at the dinner party leaned over her seat and looked down the table at Frederick Buechner and said a little louder than she might have, "I hear you're entering the ministry." She said, "Was it your own idea or were you poorly advised?" Good for her, huh? Buechner writes, "And the answer that she could not have heard, even if I had given it, was that it was not an idea at all, mine or anyone else's. It was a lump in the throat. It was an itching of the feet. It was a stirring of the blood at the sound of falling rain. It was the sickening of my own heart in the face of misery. It was a clamoring of ghosts. It was a name which, when I wrote it out in a dream, I knew was a name worth dying for, even if I was not brave enough to do the dying myself and could not even name the name for sure. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you a high and driving peace. I will condemn you to death. Just like the old you was put to death when you came around that corner and saw that face." If we have to talk about Peter and Andrew and James and John, or any of the rest of us here for that matter, who come to follow Jesus, it's probably best to remember Jesus' own words. He said, "For you did not choose me, but I chose you." We should love the love that loves us and not worry about the rest. After all, that love recruits us not as cream rising to the top, but to be citizens of the kingdom of God with him, which is a very different thing. And in the thousand ways we do that and follow him, not knowing quite what that will mean or what exactly we're supposed to do at any given moment. But we do, thanks be to God. like showing up here together this morning to sing and pray, like giving what you have for someone who needs it, like kneeling and hoping it's all true as the bread is placed in your empty hand, like knowing that whether you're the first one picked or the last, that lump in your throat is holy love incarnate loving you and calling you to follow him. And so, this day we have been given, it begins again. Around the next corner, in the face across the room, with the smell of food cooking, in some sorrow you share with another, in the palm of your hand stretched out, reaching for him. Because, good people, you have heard him say, "Follow me, too." Amen.